39-year-old Joseph Lee Taylor of Paducah was happy and gainfully employed after battling his way out. He's optimistic and driven, but he's just now finding himself in a financial situation that could prove to be perilous. Whitney Jones brings us his story on the trigger that put his hard-earned stability in jeopardy.
Joseph's day starts early. He hops out of his bed in Paducah, usually around 6:30. He's twice divorced and has no kids to prepare for school. So once he's ready, he gets right to his books.
I am currently a student with West Kentucky Tech. I am getting my associate's degree, and I am less than one semester away from that, and then I will be attending Murray State and getting my bachelor's degree. I am currently unemployed, but I do student work program for the college to help pay for tuition. If it's a school day, I get up, I study. I usually spend the first couple of hours studying. My first class will probably kick in about 9. I go from
Joseph
class from
is working toward a goal, and a pretty typical one at that. The classic American dream, a middle class life. He's had a taste of that life, but before we get to that, let's start at the beginning. Joseph's first job, which he got during his days at Paducah Tillman High School.
I started working at a local company here making $3.25 an hour. That was about the minimum wage back then. And so bringing home $200 to $300, you had to make do. I came up from a very poor family. My dad was a truck driver. My mother at the time was a secretary. She got injured and was put on disability. So not only was when my dad was on the road, I was taking care of my younger sister and helping my mom at the time, who was in a wheelchair. And then I'm managing two jobs and I'm trying to go to college.
Joseph admits he failed some classes then. He was juggling multiple jobs and taking care of his family.
It's very difficult for someone, say in that situation, to go, how am I going to get out of this? I do not see a way out to better myself and yet bring everybody else with me without abandoning them. I was having difficulties at work because my first job was wanting me to move in a career path in the company that I wasn't comfortable with. And so I was getting forced in that direction because I was coming up on 21 and getting CDLs and joining, being on the road as well, doing truck driving. And that would have took me away from my family without a change in pay. And so I decided that, started looking at my options, and then I saw this great ad.
It doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman, only that you're good.
Slowly.
Roger.
Overlanding threshold.
Be all that you can be.
Thanks for your help.
Roger.
You can do it in the Army.
We'll pay for college and excitement and adventure. And, you know, this is before 9/11. I mean, so I was like, sure, what's the odds of us going to war and everything, and I can get my degree, I can help, I'll be still making money, and everything will be great. Well, I made that decision, and then I told my family, and my mom's side of the family is very military. They were happy for me. My mom was not. She did not like me going into the service. My dad was like, hey, great, you're becoming a man, hoorah. But he didn't like the fact that when he found out that I was going to be stationed who knows where, he wasn't so happy about that, because it wasn't just, where are you going to be at? I don't know. Well, I'm going to be in Fort McClellan at first. Oh, that's great. Well, I came home for 6 days. Oh, by the way, now I'm going to South Korea. Not too happy about that, because then they had to go, now we have to take care of our own problems. And so part of me feels like I abandoned them.
Joseph's situation might lead you to believe that the armed forces are made up of more people from a poverty-stricken background than those in middle or upper-class families. That's understandable. Enlisting makes all these promises, a job, an education, a way out. But that assumption simply isn't the case. Two studies, one from the right-leaning Heritage Foundation and the other from the nonpartisan National Priorities Project, found people who come from low-income families, let's say less than $35,000 a year, are actually underrepresented in the military. The group with the highest rate of enlisting is the middle class. Now, let's get back to Joseph's story. He served for 5 years as an officer, monitoring checkpoints and occasionally scouting areas. He wasn't able to take classes while in the military. He didn't have time. But Joseph did serve all over the globe.
Germany, Kosovo, Africa. So in my 6 years of being in the military, I was maybe stateside or home for maybe 2 years, maybe two and a half. So I was gone almost half the time.
But serving in the Army didn't fully prepare him for some aspects of civilian life.
Everything was paid for, except for car, insurance, groceries. But the basic stuff was taken care of. So it was a huge change to come out and say, oh, well, now I got to deal with rent costing this much. Oh, here's all my utilities, my insurance. And they try to give you some package compensation formula that, with all your benefits in the military at your rank, this is how much in the real world you need to kind of make. Well, it wasn't that helpful. And then when I said to get out, and I was like, hey, now I can go to school. I can't really do that because I got to find a full-time job that will take care of my expenses.
While veterans like Joseph have some obstacles to overcome after serving, their poverty level is actually lower than the civilian populations. The U.S. Census Bureau used information from 2008 to 2012 to find an estimate of veterans in poverty. Their findings, 8% of veterans have lived under the poverty line in the past year. For civilians, it's almost double that, at 14%. Now, fortunately for Joseph, he didn't go too long until he got a more than minimum wage job, which lessened his financial worries.
Once I got out, less than 3 months later, I applied for a job to work out at USEC, the gas diffusion plant. The base rate of pay out there was between $50,000 and $60,000.
This is the beginning of a new chapter, where Joseph's American dream starts to come true. Joseph bought a starter home in Paducah, not far from his job. He was comfortable as a federal peace officer at USEC. He even thought he'd retire from the gaseous diffusion plant. But fast forward about a decade.
Tsunami hit. They don't need nuclear energy anymore for Japan. That was our biggest customer at USEC, and now USEC is now closing. I started seeing these signs. I'm like, I got to get my life in order because I don't know how long this job's going to be here.
The first layoffs in August 2013 didn't affect his department, but when more rounds came in early 2014, it was his time to go.
I started researching everything that I knew back in June last year. And it took me 8 months to go, okay, I need to do this first. I need to do this, 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 and made a list. And I hate to say, when you started on one of those tasks, it broke down into four other things. And then you had to go, okay, how can I prioritize this to make sure I'm getting everything done? So I started school before I was even laid off. I was working over 40 hours and had 12 hours worth of college. I was dying. Come the weekend, I didn't go out. I sat at home and I did my schoolwork. But that's what had to be done in order to, I made LAs, barely, but I made A's, and I'm on the dean's list now.
After weighing his options, Joseph decided to take a practical route in his next career. He's now taking business classes and hopes to become an accountant.
And everybody pays taxes.
Although that wasn't his first choice.
I was a criminal justice major and now I'm doing business and accounting because I'm not a spring chicken, can't chase 17-year-old punks anymore.
Drive up to Joseph's home, and you probably wouldn't think he's on the edge of poverty. It's a nice starter home, 3 bedrooms, a back porch for grilling on a summer night. A blue Mustang is parked in the garage, with a Kawasaki motorcycle sitting out front. He also has a Harley-Davidson motorcycle out back. His everyday vehicle is a green pickup truck. To some, that might seem gratuitous for a man living off unemployment. Yes, Joseph rides the motorcycles to wind down, decompress, but he also sees his vehicles as investments that will save him down the line.
When I got the motorcycle, I bought it to resell. The person who I bought the Harley from basically literally gave it away to me. And my best friend, he's like, I don't want to give it to somebody else. He's like, whatever I owe on it, that's what you have to pay. And if you looked at it, you're like, oh, that's $7,000-$8,000 bike, I probably didn't pay more than two. And I plan on reselling it. My other motorcycle, I'm going to sell, and my Mustang before my college is done. I see those three things gone.
Joseph's school is mostly paid for through his GI Bill, but his unemployment will run out soon, and he still has to make a mortgage payment.
I've already figured I'm going to go 6 months without any pay unless I go do another part-time job, or which is the only way I see going to full-time at Murray and still stay focused. And so I try to pinch all the pennies that I can. That way my funds will last. I've already made sure my car was paid off. That way I don't have a car payment. I know that would sink me in a heartbeat. I don't plan on trading in, getting a new vehicle anytime soon because I can't afford it. And I have to be realistic about that.
Where does all this determination come from? Like many people, it goes back to lessons Joseph learned as a child.
I like to thank my grandfather who passed away in 91. When I was growing up, it didn't matter what I had to do, but he would make me do work around his house, and he would reward me for doing that work, or I would do the work and not get rewarded if I complained. So he helped kind of slowly instill that work ethic there. When I joined the military, they kind of reinforced that.
That determination and hard work is what has brought Joseph where he is now, going to school, working a job where he's the low man on the totem pole. He's had to make many sacrifices, not just with his pride or his possessions. Joseph admits his social life is a little lacking.
A lot of people you start talking to go, "So what are you doing?" "I'm studying, I'm tutoring." And you know, well, what fun is that? It's not fun. This is my new job in order to get to where I want to be. My truly good friends understand that and support me in that. The people that I'm acquaintances with will try to dissuade me, "Hey, take a break, let's go out and party, let's blow off some steam," but that's what gets you the B or the C or your D if you do that too much.
So Joseph plugs away at his schoolwork. He knows he's on the edge. One direction is out of poverty, the other is in. He sees people, some of them old coworkers from USEC, struggling, but yet also putting off tasks like registering for school that could put them back on track. His family is another example, too, of what can happen.
They're still struggling themselves. After all these years, I don't see them have moved up any at all. So they're still at that same level, and I feel like I've passed that level, but at the same time, I'm struggling to hold on to what I have now so I don't fall back down even further, because that makes it even harder to get back up.
Joseph says he knows the job market is tough right now in the region. He remains hopeful that once he's done with school, he'll be able to find a place to work using his new skills. He wants to keep moving forward. But Joseph says no matter his situation, he refuses to be poor again.
Poor is a state of mind. Being broke is just financially, you just don't have no money. I've seen that I've had to overcome a lot of obstacles in my life. With being as a child, when I was growing up through elementary and middle school, dyslexic. So I had a handicap. Well, I learned to overcome that. I'm left-handed. In the military, that's a huge, everybody, you do everything right-handed. So I've learned to overcome those things. And so mentally, I know I'll never be poor again. And therefore, no matter how bad it gets, I know I can go out and do something to make it better.
And true to the planning that's gotten Joseph where he is, he's going to continue overcoming obstacles. That means conserving funds when he has regular income once again.
After I receive my degree and hopefully get my dream job, which everyone hopes they get, I would like to take the time to set up maybe the first 6 months to keep with that pace that I am at now, and then have things set up where I can have that safety net. Because that's one of the things that I think everybody needs. But when you're at a level that you can't afford to get the safety net going, you feel like you're right on the edge of that bottomless pit. Where if you spend, you know, you get that great job, don't go out and raise your cost of living up right off the bat. Live on what you are living now and build that safety net. Because once you fall and you land on that net, it's great. But if you fall off the cliff, I can't get back up to the top. And that's a scary, scary thought. And desperation comes from that.
So Joseph continues keeping his head in his books, taking classes during summers, fitting in everything he can. All because that feeling, desperation, that comes from not having enough to survive is something he never wants to experience again.
That was Whitney Jones reporting. Joseph has one semester left at WKCTC before he can begin work at Murray State. During that time, his unemployment benefits and GI Bill benefits will end. According to the Brookings Institute and data from the National Bureau of Labor Statistics, Joseph's degree attainment dropped his chances of getting stuck in poverty to just 16%. You can see a video of Joseph's story and more at WKMS.org.